Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Daughter of Yisrael Abel Shirai Hawkins, and I like to show you forever as a feast of Saturn Vayasu. It is now time to start finding your seats for Sabbath services.
Shalom, everyone. My name is Daughter of Yisrael Abel Danny Ogans Hawkins, and I like to serve you forever as a priestess starting very soon. It's now time to present to you the sons and daughters of Yisrael Abel now entering the sanctuary. I'd like to turn it over to the son, to the daughter of Yisrael Abel, Zipporah Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. As we rejoice together on this great Sabbath day, let's continue to encourage one another towards love and righteous works. And I'd like to turn it over to the first speaker.
Shabbat Shalom, sisters. You may be seated. The title of my speech is The Two Greatest. Recently, Pastor asked us to study Matitya 5, verse 21 to 25, found on page 731. Notice the word angry in verse 21. Google.com defines angry as having a strong feeling of or showing annoyance, displeasure, or hostility, full of anger. Yeshua is teaching us that we should not be annoyed, hostile, or displeased with one another, but we should love one another. Love is the opposite of anger. Please turn with me to Matitya 22, verse 36 to 40, found on page 750 in the Book of Yahweh. That's Matitya 22, verse 36 to 40. Verse 36. Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? And Yeshua said to him, you must love Yahweh your Father with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Sisters, there are two greatest commandments in the laws are, one, love Yahweh, and two, love your neighbor as yourself. And these two commandments hang all the laws and prophets. Please turn to Ephesians 4, verse 26 to 27 on page 918. That's Ephesians 4, verse 26 to 27 on page 918. Verse 26. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. For this gives place to the devil. Give her no room nor opportunity. Why do you think Shaul wrote this? Because anger breeds hatred, and hatred breeds revenge and retaliation. This is the character of Cain, the gods, and Satan. Will these characteristics be found in Yahweh's kingdom? No, it will not. Yahweh's family is built on true peace, joy, and love. Yahweh's laws should always be in our minds and hearts. And we should make sure to apply them in every aspect of our lives. It has been an honor and privilege to speak out to the called out ones in the house of Yahweh. On this, I'd like to turn over to the next speaker. Everyone, you may be seated. My title today is Ready or Not, Here It Comes.
Will everyone please turn over to Exodus 23, verse 15? And it says, "You shall keep the feast of unleavened bread. You shall eat unleavened bread 7 days as I commanded you, at the time appointed in the moon of green ears of barley, for in it you came out of Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty." As we all know, the feast is soon approaching. We all can prepare physically, buying clothes and filling out registrations. But the question is, are we preparing ourselves spiritually. Please turn over to Ephesians 6, verse 10 through 11. And it says, "Finally, my brothers, strengthen yourselves in Yahweh and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of Yahweh, that you may be able to stand against the wiles, crafty ways, schemes of the devil." As feast comes closer and closer, the tests get harder and harder. We must be determined to trust in Yahweh fully. As the great Kohan said, Yahweh was so real to David that when he was out there with his sheep in the pasture, David was not alone. We must be willing to trust that Yahweh is there for us all the way. There is a point that Satan wants us to get to, the point where we feel like giving up. But we must remember what Yahweh has in store for us. Turn over to Yochanan 14, verse 1 through 2. And it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in Yahweh, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If this were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Notice, Yahshua has prepared a place for us. It is up to us to hold that place. So I remind you, we must get to the point that when Yahweh says, "Here my feast comes," we can say we are ready. And now I'd like to turn it over to Abigail for prayer.
Please raise your hands for prayer. Our Father in heaven, his name is Yahweh. This is Abigail coming through my head, Konzophania, through the overseer Shreba Hawkins at the Yeshua and Yahshua Messiah. I think you're safe, Father Yahweh. Please allow us to come to perfection before Passover, and I pray for Kanye Diddy and other prisoners that you would release him from prison and from the BC system soon. I pray for anyone who's traveling to get to your feast. Please allow them to have a safe travel. And anyone who is sick at this time, Father Yahweh, please heal them. And I ask, please bless the lips of the speakers. And I ask all this in need to eat the body of God as you pass to Jacques and Yahshua Messiah. Holy Yahweh, praise Yahweh. Now I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker.
Seated for a few announcements. Reminder about feast preparation. Next week is the last week. Is the last week you may place feast orders with us. Please turn in your orders no later than first day through 3/17/19. Remember to check your shipping dates for estimated time arrival to ensure that your package will be here no later than 4/6/19. Because there will be no receiving packages during feast, may Yahweh bless your diligent effort. Please remember that we are not mailing out feast forms, but if you need them mailed, please call the South office to request the forms you need. So please come by the South office to register for feast and take care of your feast-related business as soon as possible. The office is open 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m., first day through fifth day. You may also register online at yahweh.com. There will be a females counselors meeting today in the Kohana room 3:30 p.m. In the women's and girls' workshop next week, we will be beginning in the Golden Oil book. Please plan to bring that book to class. Sisters, please join us today in the sanctuary at 1:30 p.m. if you are not already scheduled for another duty. Enjoy righteous fellowship while helping prepare Yahweh's message to be spread to the world. The lost and found tables will soon be cleared off. Please take that time to check them now while your missing items are still here. Daylight saving time begins tonight. Please remember to set your clocks ahead 1 hour. This Sabbath, enjoy dinner and supper at the White Buffalo Dining Center. For dinner, we will be serving oaky chicken with rice, greens, and lentils. For dessert, we will have cake, ice cream, and oaky soda. The cafeteria will close at 3 p.m. sharp and will reopen Thursday morning at 7:30 a.m. The men's and women's concession stands will be open at 3 p.m. and will stay open until all are served. The evening meal will be served in the concession stand area only, starting at 4:45 p.m. And we will serve oaky chicken, burritos, desserts, and ice cream. May Yahweh bless your Sabbath, and I'll turn it over to the priest.
Shabbat Shalom, great saints of Yahweh. Please be seated. Where have you been? Right there? May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of us today and those who are joining us over the media. This morning, we have a very special group of sisters, teaching sisters for you today. We have young women and we have us more, well, senior sisters. Now, our young women are going to speak on the title, "The World Has Nothing to Offer." Our group of young women will speak on "The World Has Nothing to Offer." Now, when you can find young women who know this, then you have something going. If they know the world has nothing, okay? Now, for our more seasoned teachers, we were told we don't have a theme, but talk about anything the Great One sent has been speaking about lately. So we said, okay. I said, have each of the teachers summarize her speech into one word and let me have it so I can do a topic for us, as seasoned teachers. So it ended up that everybody sent me three words, a nice phrase with three words. So I said, okay, that's nice. I'm going to use it then to make a theme because we don't have one. I'm going to tell you what the phrases are in order. And I said, whatever Yahweh gives us, we're going to make a theme with it. Do you agree? So here are the themes in order. Number one, numbered by Yahweh. Summaries: His Mighty Hand, Yisrael Abel Hawkins, Your Chosen King, Turn to Righteousness, Yahweh the Power, Gods Are Nothing. These were their phrases. Now let's make a theme with it just as we speak. Let's see how nicely it comes together. Numbered by Yahweh through His Mighty Hand. Written by Yisrael Abel Hawkins. Working with Yahshua, Your Chosen King, we need to turn to righteousness. For Yahweh is the power and the gods are nothing. You think that's a theme? Praise Yahweh. And with this, we turn over to our great first speaker.
Good Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The title of my speech today is Suffering for Salvation, Part 1. Now, right now, this world is suffering from their own sins. They put out what they want you to see, which is nothing but a front to cover up the fact that they are suffering. Of course, this world looks fun and cool, desirable, amazing, and attractive. But knowing what really lies behind all of that glitter and glamour, is that the lifestyle we really want to live? As an individual in the house of Yahweh, we really need to think about that. As soon as you leave the house of Yahweh, you're walking out on those who love you, which is your true family, and you're walking out on Yahweh, and what a big spit that is in Yahshua's face, the one who died for your sins. Now, of course, we're not thinking about this when we're caught up in our emotions and feelings of wanting to leave the house of Yahweh, but not only that, you just willingly gave up your opportunity, a position in the kingdom, and everything else that Yahweh has offered for you. Now, Overseer said in one of his sermons a few weeks ago about how he wants to write about how we passed up the ways of the world for the way of Yahweh. You know, we should take that to heart. And is it going to be easy? No, it's not. But if he said that, you know, that's what he wants to write about us, that should give us a little bit of encouragement and motivation to say, you know what, hey, I can do this. Let me just give it my all. Let me try my best. You know, we can't keep making the excuse of, you know, the reason why I want to leave the house of Yahweh and the reason why I cling on to this certain sin is because I'm depressed and suffering in the house of Yahweh. You know, out in the world, people are depressed and suffering each and every day. From the richest celebrity star to the poorest homeless person on the side of the street, everybody is suffering. But, you know, the world is suffering for death. As for us in the house of Yahweh, our suffering is different. We're suffering for a new world with peace, joy, and love, and eternal life. That's what we're suffering for. And we should take that as a blessing. And remember, Moshe is a great example. In Hebrews 11:25, you know, he would rather suffer affliction with the people of Yahweh than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. You know, it is true that being in the house of Yahweh, we will be tested and tried. It's prophesied that we must be tested and tried. And remember 1 Corinthians 10:13 that Yahweh will not give you more than what you can bear. You are the only one who can make your test and trials good and bad for yourself. You can't blame it on the other person, the reason why your test that you're going through is bad. You know, you can make your test and trials positive. From the youngest person in the house of Yahweh to the oldest person here, you will be tested and tried. So don't feel shocked automatically. Oh, I'm being tested. You know, oh, this is such a depressed moment and everything. You know, you should take it as a blessing and thank Yahweh for it each and every day for your tests and trials. Because that's the only way that you will learn and grow is through your tests. Your tests are put there to, you know, help you overcome what you need to overcome, what you're lacking in your life. You know, the talk about how I want to leave and I'm leaving at this age. You know, you might go out into the world and get your way. You might get what you want, you know, your music career or your new husband and wife or whatever you're aiming for out there. You might get what you want. But just as you know and just as I know, at the end of the day, you and your new music career and everything else around all that glitter and glamour will burn up together. That's exactly what's going to occur. And will you be blessed for that? No, you won't. You know, I remember back when I was like 14 years old, I used to say that saying every single day. You know, I'm leaving when I'm 18 years old, you know. I need to go, you know. Oh, my word, the house of Yahweh. And it's like now I look back and like, how stupid did I sound? Because, you know, I'm 18 years old and I'm still here in the house of Yahweh. And I take it as a blessing that I actually remained here. You know, yes, at times life gets rough. You know, we may slip up and make mistakes, the most biggest mistakes in our life. But we can't allow our confidence in Yahweh to fade away. You know, it's been a long, hard road, but we're going to make it. And from one teenager to another, I might not know all your struggles out there. You know, I might not know what you're going through, and you might not know all of my struggles and what I'm going through. But for some of us right now, it may be hard on us, but we have to allow Yahweh to intervene into our life. Because we have to remember, Yahweh has a plan for each and every one of us. So we have to allow him to take control of our life. So I just want to encourage you young people out there, those who are wanting to leave or talking about leaving, you know, there's no hope for you out there in the world. The only thing the world has to offer you is death, okay? And I want you to remember, you know, what Overseer said, what he wants to write about you. Think to yourself each and every day, what do you want Overseer to write about you? Okay? And I thank you for your time. And with this, I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. The title of my speech is Creating the Righteous Desire. Now, as we were told before, our theme today is why I don't want anything this world has to offer. And as I was told the theme, I kept thinking, why? Why would I not want anything this world has to offer? Well, look at the state our world is in today. In our city, a person died over putting a mattress in a dumpster. Okay, and then you have the love of power and wealth taking over, you know, people's minds where they don't treat people the way they should be treated. And then we have abortions where they say that the child has no feeling. But as our overseer stated, why would you kill something if it's already dead? The confusion in the minds. And then our pharmaceutical drugs. Our speaker before in a previous speech, you talked about how they have all these ads, you know, it will lead to suicidal thoughts, depression, death. When the disease they're had is going to lead them to death as well. From Fox2Detroit.com, there was a news article entitled, LA's Teenager Skin Melts Off in Severe Reaction to Prescription Drugs with FDA Warning. Do you think she got any better? No, she got worse. There was a strict warning, which means you shouldn't take it. When you see the results of the actions of society today, this is when you realize why we don't want anything of it. And it's a simple answer. Because you want to live. You want to live. Now, how many have ever wrote a letter to a friend? Raise your hand. Now, when you wrote that letter, you really wanted your friend to open that letter and read it, correct? Really take to heart what you wrote. Now, how many have ever received a letter from a friend? Now, when you received that letter, you opened it up as soon as you could. You didn't wait a month, 6 months later, a year later. You opened it up as soon as you could because you wanted to see what that friend wrote to you. I want to compare that letter from a friend to the newsletters and PWs that we run every single month. This brings me back to a sermon that Pastor spoke about when he spoke, and he said that I have spent all this time, and tears in his eyes, to prepare this for you. But are you reading what I have written for you? Are you reading? And after that, I thought, what does the house of Yahweh mean to me? This very important question, what does it mean to me? And I look closer at that word important. What's important to me? What do I value? Now, studying, I know we're all different. Not everyone loves to read. Not everyone loves to draw. But I want to compare reading this and studying to a new language. Has anyone ever tried to learn a new language? It is not the easiest thing. And, you know, you try your best to study it, and then you need someone else to help you. And this is kind of like studying. You know, it's sometimes not fun to do it on your own, so you go to classes, you get involved with other people, and that there you find that joy in studying. In Pastor's sermon last week, he said, create the desire for righteousness in you. Create the desire for righteousness in you. How do we create the desire for righteousness in us? First, we learn what righteousness is. Deuteronomy 6:25 says that if we keep the laws, that we will have that righteousness. And number two, before you actually get into something, you look at the rewards. There's pros and cons. So what are the rewards of righteousness? Revelation 22:14 says that we will be able to enter into the kingdom. Revelations 20 verse 6 tells us that we will be priests and priestesses and will be able to reign with Yahshua. Proverbs 3 verse 1 through 2 tells us that don't forget the law, but take them to heart, for length of days and long life and peace will be added to you. I also want to reference the Mark of the Beast, part 2, chapter 13, and it's entitled The Rewards of the Righteous. So now we know what righteousness is, the rewards of it, how do we develop it? First Yochanan 3:7-8 says that you have to practice righteousness. You have to willingly want to change. Remember, the desire starts within the heart. And our fears and lack in trust of Yahweh is sometimes what hold us back. But 1 Timaeus 6:12 says, fight that righteous fight. And remember, that fight isn't with one another, but it's our mental battles, the battles we go through every single day. And it all comes up to your choice. Choose righteousness. Say this at the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Choose righteousness. Now, if everyone would turn to 1 Timaeus 6:17-18. 1 Timaeus 6:17-18, found on page 936. It says, do not trust in the riches. Command those who are rich in this world that they are not to be haughty, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living Father who gives us richly only things to enjoy, that they do righteousness, that they will be rich in righteous works, ready to be generous, willing to share, storing up for themselves a perfect foundation for the time to come, that they may receive eternal life. Back to creating the righteousness. When we create this righteous desire, we realize that we don't want anything this world has to offer. We only want the righteous letters from Yahweh. With this, I'll turn over to the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The title of my speech today is I Don't Want It. As we look out into the world, we see sickness, diseases, wars, and confusion of the minds. But in the world's eyes, all they see is the material aspects of life, such as fantasy homes, vehicles, and lots of money. Another example is, well, they listen to worldly music or watch movies and eat whatever they want, even if it's unclean. But the question is, what do all these things do to you? Well, the music messes with your brain cells, the food gives you sickness and diseases, and the movies, it teaches you wars, fightings, and violence. In the 17th book of Ezekiel, chapter 32, verse 51 through 53, Pastor says, no one will receive eternal life until you give it to them. By the way, yes, that's going to come from you. Everything from man is going to come from the sons of man. That's a fact. Yahweh is going to show you, teach you, and guide you. Everything will be shown to you, but you're going to do it. That's what you're training for right now. If you would just get that in your mind while you're here, maybe the wasted time would stop, like with the television. I said last week I had just read an article that said women watch a lot of television. If you watch so many hours of television per week, they say eventually it will change your brain. There's something in your brain that babies use when they learn to walk. If you notice, they stagger and they fall. I'm talking about babies when they first start learning to walk. Their brains have to start working with the rest of their bodies to send signals to the feet and the arms and the eyes. It even affects the mouth. They have trouble. They slobber all over themselves. You don't do that now, but you did at one time. But when you sit down and you watch long periods of television, something can occur. I'm warning you right now. Your brain starts changing. Later in your life, you'll get to where you'll stumble and fall and hurt yourself. And if you're not used to falling, you'll hurt yourself bad. What has taken place is you've made your brain go back to where you're a baby again. You're sitting long hours. The television is moving, but you're not moving. So your brain is losing out. It's deteriorating. And that which is not used disappears. It dies. It's abused, so it dies. You lose that ability. And that reminds me of that saying, if you don't use it, you lose it. Because when, like Pastor said, when you're not using your brain when you watch television, you're just watching the TV. And it gets to the point where your brain starts to deteriorate and you stumble and fall. And later on in verse 56, Pastor said, this is what you do when you watch too much television. You stumble and fall, but you won't stumble and fall as the example shows those people did. You have to work your brain on it and it will get to where it can do it. Then you get to where you can work out problems. And when Pastor says stumbling and falling, he doesn't mean, well, tripping over sticks or something. He means that you lose the ability to solve problems. And you could see that taking place in the other parts of the world, like Russia and China and Syria. Like, there's always wars and fighting, and that's because they've lost the ability to solve the problems because they watch too much TV. Now, this all proves that TV is worthless. It's nothing. And later on in your time, I really advise you to read the 17th book of Ezekiel, chapter 32, from 51 to 56, because that whole section is talking about how TV, it's nothing, and it wastes your time. Please turn to Uemia 16, verse 19, found on page 586. That's Uemia 16, verse 19, found on page 586. And it reads, O Yahweh, my strength and my fortress, my refuge, in the day of affliction, the Gentiles will come to you from the ends of the earth and will say, surely our fathers have inherited nothing but lies and vanity, worthless, powerless gods, of no use at all. Now, this scripture is saying that the world has it's inherited nothing and it has nothing to offer. I don't want the world because I know it has nothing to offer but sickness and diseases. And right now, it might seem all fun and games, but later on when nuclear war occurs, you'll see why. Because it's the sin, because of the sin. In closing, please turn to Isaiah 41, verse 29, found on page 556. That's Isaiah 41, verse 29, found on page 586. And it reads, Behold, they are all vanity, worthless gods. Their works are nothing, empty, and the molded images of their gods are wind and confusion. And with this, please stand and welcome the next speaker.
Shalom, great saints of Yah, you may be seated. The title of my speech today is Don't Give Up on Us. So in the continuation of our theme, we don't want this world that has nothing to offer. I want you to keep in mind that sometimes you may look out into a world and it may seem enticing, but Satan is chiefly mastered in the art of deception. We can compare this world to bait. Shiny new things, money, new car, a great job, a better life, so to speak. But as soon as we, the fish, catch onto that bait and we're pulled out, only death awaits. So with this in mind, I want to deliver a heart-to-heart. Not too long ago, I was asked two questions, and these questions never really left the forefront of my mind. The first one was, how has a peace solution changed your life? At that moment, I kind of was stumped, and I'm thinking, but all I can really think about was that it didn't drastically change my life, but improved it. And a couple of weeks later, another question was asked in workshops. How has the House of Yahweh helped or changed your life? And I'm sitting there quietly listening to everyone, but the thing that I did realize is that without the House of Yahweh, I would not have known a peaceful solution or the laws of Yahweh, and essentially, I would have known nothing. So I really want you to ponder upon these two questions as well. Now, for me to see the big difference, I had to compare and contrast my life of a young person in the House of Yahweh versus one out into the world. And the first thing that really caught my attention was education. Because here in Yahweh's house, we have education. You know, I go to school every once in a while, and, you know, we're teaching them the laws of Yahweh, the peace solution, and his prophecies. And I'm just, like, sitting there, standing in awe, wondering, like, why can I, like, go through that? Why can I have been there and, like, you know, learn that as well? But out in the world, they have education, too. But their education is firmly on academics alone. And they're always looking for the best new thing, and keeping in mind that knowledge without Yahweh is grasping at the wind. It's worthless. It's nothing. The second was our home and community. Here in the House of Yahweh, they're one and the same. And keeping in mind that quote, it takes a village to raise a child. Pastor comes out all the time, and he teaches us as children. We have the administration of Yahweh's house who's teaching us, and we have classes. And, you know, we really have a nourishing environment here. But vice versa, out in the world, we have children who'd rather stay out on the street than go home. It's a very dangerous community, and everyone out there is only looking out after themselves. Now, the third one is purpose, and that was a big one, because here in Yahweh's house, we have true purpose. We know that Yahweh has a great plan for us, and we know why we are created. And with that, we have true direction. But out in the world, they don't have that. They have goals, but they're fleeting goals. When they accomplish their goals, they have no joy and they have no satisfaction. And the fourth one is a big impact on us as children is friends. You know, here in Yahweh's house, we have friends who are motivated with the same purpose in mind and the same goal, and we're able to run that race with them. In the world, they have friends who influence them to partake in risky behavior that really damages their future. And the last one was help. When we need help, the world says, you know, they'll get help, go talk to someone, you know, and they have, like, their counseling. And each and every counseling session is hundreds of dollars. But here in Yahweh's house, I'm glad to say, we have free counseling. We have counselors who are expertly trained in the laws of Yahweh and the peace solution who can help us solve any problem. In the world, they don't have that. They have no help. And so they only have about three options. One we see a lot of is suicide. Another one we see is that they go ahead and they partake in, like, a revengeful path. And so they are cast in jail. And the last one, they can continue in the same path, but they have a gloomy, stressful life. Now, with all this, after I analyzed it and I weighed it on a scale, I can say that it's really a blessing to be in Yahweh's house. Now, praise Yahweh. Now, as children, we may, a lot of times, may think that we're too cool to express our feelings or that we're a little embarrassed. So right here, on behalf of all the children, the teenagers, and the young people in the house of Yah, I just want to say thank you to our parents and the wise adults who brought us to Yahweh's house. They actually snatched us out of Leviathan's mouth. Now, on many occasions, you might think, well, your children isn't as serious about the work as you are. But we want to keep in mind that you were able to experience both two sides of the coins. You're out there, and you can choose for yourself that I want the house of Yahweh. We're going to get to that point as well where we don't have to experience the world, but we're going to choose for ourselves that we want this place always, okay? And we're getting to that point. So I just want to encourage you to continue doing what you're doing and don't give up on us. Now, just as our parents are doing so much for us, so too is the house of Yahweh, our spiritual mother, doing for us. You know, I just really want to talk about how this work is a prophesied work in these last days and how it's going to be the greatest work. You know, our children has a lot to do with that. You know, Yahweh talks about, you know, there'll be a group of children who will not bow down to Baal, who will never worship Satan, and that's thanks to the work that we have here in Yahweh's house. So I just want to really implore you to hold on to us as you would your hands on a plow and never let go. Continue to work with us so we can work with you so we can both come to perfection together. I want to ask, better yet, not ask, but just, I want to beg actually, just like Yahweh, Yeshua, and Pastor invested and won't give up on us, I want you to do the same, okay? So for this generation, society has already given up on us. You know, they said that we're worthless. We don't amount to anything. And they kind of put an X on us. I want to let them know that we won't throw away that X. We'll take that X and use it to become a generation of excellence. Now, Yahweh writes for us in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, found on page 597. Jeremiah 29, verse 11, "For I know the thoughts, the plans that I have for you, says Yahweh, thoughts of peace and not of destruction, to give you the future you hope for." And he knows that we won't fail, but only succeed. So in closing, I just want to encourage you to continue on with your path of Yahweh and your walk with Yahweh, and never neglect the guidance that we have here at Yahweh's house. And continue on in your overcoming process and prove Yahweh right, showing him that the investment he placed in us will not be fruitless, but will come back reaping so much more. And with this, I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. So continuing on this topic of why we don't want the world and we want only Yahweh's house, I want you to remember the sermon that our overseer brought last week and how he went to Romans chapter 8 and verse 29 and he read the scripture about becoming in the image of his son, talking about Yahshua, Yahweh's son, becoming in his image, conformed into the image of Yahshua. Now, we're already told in many places in the scripture, one example is Romans 12 verse 2 where it says, "Do not be conformed to the ways of the world." And this conformity, Satan has a lot of traps to get you to desire it more than righteousness. But another thing that the house of Yahweh is teaching and does is coming out of the world. We're not mingling and mixing in with what the world has to offer. Now, if you notice in Romans 12, verse 2, where it says to not be conformed with the world, it says, "Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Now, if you get it, it said the pattern of this world. You know why it becomes a pattern? Because that's exactly what everybody does. They conform. They just go along with what they see and what other people tell them, and children teach their parents things that they just hand down from generation to generation. That's the pattern of the world. And we're here to break that pattern through righteousness. Now, Romans 8:29, this is a scripture that was read last week. "For whom he did foreknow." Now, think about how amazing it is that Yahweh, he foreknew us, and he also did foreordain us to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. So we see there, he's the firstborn to achieve what Yahweh set in Genesis 1:26, becoming in the image and likeness of Yahweh. Now, wonder why he said the image of his son. Because Yahshua, in Hebrews chapter 1, you can remember it said, he is a reflection of the perfection of Yahweh and a representation, a perfect image of Yahweh's plan. So, if he's a reflection of the perfection of Yahweh, we're trying to become into the image of Yahweh, that's becoming into the image of his son Yahshua. And in these last days, we have a perfect example of who's in the image of Yahshua and Yahweh. And who's that? Ezra Hawkins. And we are all striving to become the reflection of the perfection of our greatest teacher, right? Ezra Hawkins. And this is the unity that you see in Yahweh's house and his plan. Now, that word conformity, if you look it up in the King James Version, uses the same word. It says to be conformed to the image of his son. That's 4832 in Greek from 4862 and 3444. And it means jointly formed, similar, conformed to. So our character, we want to get it to be conformed to the righteousness that is seen in Yahshua and in Yisrael Hawkins and in Yahweh. Conform to, fashion, take fashion like unto, like in the likeness of Yahweh, having the same form. And in 4862, it says union with or together, association, companionship, and resemblance. So when we see each other, we should have that resemblance of the unity that Yahweh expresses in the scripture for his plan. Now, if you take that word companionship, remember Zechariah 3, verse 8 through 9, where it says, let's go there. Hear now, O Yahshua, the high priest, you and your companions who sit before you, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. So you can see there that that word is showing the unity between Yisrael Hawkins, Yahshua, and us. We are all companions conformed to the likeness of Yahshua. Now, one thing that stands out about Yahshua is his expressed desire to learn. He always wanted to learn. You didn't see the scripture where it said his parents had to drag him to the feast and, you know, make him sit down and make him take notes and make him write a speech and make him give it. That's not what it said. It said that he was there, was it 3 days behind? And he was teaching, answering and asking questions. That was his desire to learn. And you can see that in our great overseer as well. His desire to learn and to teach and share what he has learned with others. Now, the sixth book of Yisrael has a very great series in it where our overseer was teaching us to prophesy. It's learning to prophesy. And in chapter 17, the first sermon there is comparing the world with Yahweh's way, which quickly brings to mind Zechariah 5, verse 9, the standard of perfection separating the way of the world from the way of Yahweh. And he shows in that series, especially in that sermon, why we don't want the world and what Yahweh's goal for us is to become a kingdom of priests and the little things we can do every single day to reach for that goal. And one of the things that we should do is every Sabbath or every time we come to Yahweh's house, come with the desire to learn. We should be bringing our books of Yahweh, our pencil and our paper, and come here with the desire to learn and sit at the feet of the priest or priestess, just like our great high priest did. He came to learn and to ask questions. And one of the things that stand out, again, it's a quote from our overseer from 3:6-10. And he said, you know, I would that we could have had the house of Yahweh when I was a child, and I could have been part of it and learning all that time. And he said, you don't know how blessed you are. We don't know how blessed we are that Yahweh has called us out of this world. He spared us. I'm adding that in. But he did spare us. But he said that Yahweh's called you out of this world. He knows you're here, giving you such a great opportunity at this time. We're all being given the opportunity to become conformed to the image and likeness of Yahshua, who's in the image and likeness of Yahweh, and we can see that in our great overseer in these last days. So with this, if y'all please stand, we'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. The title of my speech today is It's a Matter of Choice. Looking out into the world, Satan makes it look so enticing. You can get a job, make lots and lots and lots of money, do whatever you want, go wherever you want, eat whatever you want. The list just goes on and on. So what could possibly be wrong with all of this? That's Satan's goal. She wants us to think that her way is fun and exciting. But when we partake of her way, we are saying that we agree with the 125,000 abortions that occur every day, with all the suicide, the school shootings, the violence and hatred in this world. We are saying that we agree with the wars that are going on in different countries. I have some pictures that I want you to take a look at. What do all these pictures have in common? War, war, and more war. These people have lost all hope. No one should have to live like this, but sadly, so many people experience this on an everyday basis. They live in constant fear for their lives. They don't know when they're going to get their next meal, or even if they're going to have clean water to drink. Why? because society thinks that peace can come through war. And so many innocent people get caught up in the midst of it. Families are torn apart, homes are destroyed, and people's lives are lost. But Satan doesn't want us to see this. She wants us to see all the fun that we could have. She is trying her best to pull us out one by one. But sisters, nothing in this world should be more important to us than being here at Yahweh's house. We have the greatest opportunity to be taught by the greatest teacher in the entire world, and no one else has this opportunity except for us. Yahweh has called us here to see us succeed, and we go through different things in our lives so that we can prove to him that we love his house, we love his work, and we want to remain here forever. We aren't forced to do anything in Yahweh's house. We are given a choice. Remember, we aren't running for our lives every day like some people are. We aren't starving. We aren't worried about our homes being destroyed. We have everything we need right here. And now it's up to us to choose what we are going to do. We can either remain in our place and show Yahweh how strong we can be, or we can allow ourselves to become deceived into thinking that Satan has a better way. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 30. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, and starting in verse 15 on page 173, it says, "See, I have set before you this day life by righteousness and death by destruction, in that I command you this day to love Yahweh your Father by walking in all his ways, by keeping his laws, his statutes, and his judgments, so that you may live and multiply, and so Yahweh your Father may bless you in the land which you go into possess. But if your heart turns away, and you are not obedient, and you are drawn away to submit to God's Elohim, to worship them by serving them, I declare to you this day you will surely perish. You will not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to possess. I call heaven and earth as witness against you this day, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses, because you are free agents to make your own choice between righteousness and evil. Therefore, choose life so both you and your children may live." Yahweh makes it very clear to us what our choices will bring. And if we turn over to Romans 12, verse 2, you know the speaker before me read the scripture as well. And in Romans 12, verse 2, it says, "And do not be conformed to the pattern of this world." In the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program Acceptance Unit, Chapter 5, page 96, we are given the definition of conformity, which means to agree with and obey the customs and standards of. We can't allow ourselves to become influenced and give in to Satan. And this can be done very easily because we don't have to leave Yahweh's house in order to be negatively influenced. We can be influenced by worldly entertainment. We have the movies, we have television, we have music, we have the books, and in our generation right now, we have the social media. So continuing on in verse 2, it says, "But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to test and prove what is righteous and acceptable and the perfect will of Yahweh." What is the will of Yahweh? Keeping his every word, his 613 laws. So how can we renew our mind? We can't renew our mind if we are focused on worldly things. And that's one of the reasons why we have the Sabbath day, a day set aside for us to come and refresh our minds and get them back on track. And we shouldn't just wait for the Sabbath to come around. We should be doing this throughout the week by studying every day and listening to the sermons. These things help us to stay grounded in Yahweh's house. If we fill our minds with righteousness, then we can't be deceived. In the 15th book of Yisrael, chapter 41, verse 32, it says, "And then word number 3501 means, including the compound, a prime word, new, making you new, making you a new person, youthful, or of things refreshed, fig, new or young." So this word renewed means that Yahweh is actually making you over. Inside this body of yours, he's making you over and renewing you, renewing your mind to where hopefully it will become just like Yahweh's, thinking nothing but righteousness, therefore having strong spirit like Yahweh has. In order for us to be able to renew us, In order for Yahweh to be able to renew us, we must willingly give up all negative influences from this world and focus our minds on becoming perfect like Yahweh. And in Romans chapter 12 and verse 21, it says, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with righteousness." Remember, the choice is ours. Let's make the right choice and remain in Yahweh's house. It will be well worth everything we have gone through and we are going through right now. And as it states in Matthew 25 and verse 21, his ruler said to him, "Well done, righteous and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your ruler." Because we held on and didn't let go, because we chose to practice righteousness. And now I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker.
So my title is Don't Turn Back to the Trap, Into the Trap. Now we can all see what a huge mess our world is in, and none of us should desire this way of life. Now the pulls of Satan can be very tempting. She will make anything and everything look so fun and glorious. So I want everyone to think of some pretty high heel shoes. Now, just by looking at them, they look very amazing. But when you put your foot in that shoe, your feet are extremely squished, and you already have a blister. And you take one step, and you fall down. Now put your mind back to the world. Just by looking at the world, you see everything that looks so fun and amazing. And you don't see the curses. You can go ride roller coasters and go to the beach and have the time of your life. So turn over to 2 Timothy 4 and verse 3. And it says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they will heap themselves teachers, who will tickle their ear, telling them what they want to hear." So just like the box that the shoes came in, it didn't tell you that it was going to rub on your feet or that you're going to fall on your face. Neither did the world, because they are dumb dogs sleeping, too lazy to bark to warn the people. They never told you that when you go and ride roller coasters, you're going to fly out, or when you went to school, you're going to get shot. Now, 2 Kefa 2 and verse 18 says, "For when they speak great swelling words, they allure. Through the lust of the flesh, through the wantonness, lasciviousness, the ones who barely escape from the ones who live in error." The thought should never cross our minds to turn back to the world. Turn over to Galatians 4, verse 9. And it says, "But now, knowing Yahweh, or rather have been known by Yahweh, why do you return to the powerless gods and bow down to sacred poles? Why do you want to be in bondage to them all over again? Why would we want to go back to the world when it has nothing to offer?" If you would look over to Colossians 2 and verse 8, and it says, "Beware that no one leads you away like a prize because of philosophy or empty false statements, according to the traditions of men, after the elements of the world, and not after the Messiah." We should all desire to be a part of this great house of Yahweh. We should no longer desire Satan's crafty ways. Turn over to 1 Yochanan 2, verse 15 through 17. And it says, "Do not love the world, nor the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world passes away with the lust that is in it. But he who does the will of Yahweh abides forever." So whenever Satan tries to pull you into temptation and tries to offer you the glitter and glamour of this world, remember that the world has nothing to offer, but the house of Yahweh does. In 2 Kefa 3, verse 17 through 18, it says, "You, therefore, beloved, since you know all these things beforehand, beware that none of you fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. But grow in the truth and in the knowledge of Yahweh and our Savior, Yeshua Messiah. To Yahweh belongs our glory forever, both now and forever. Hallelujah, Yahweh." And with this, I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat Shalom, you may be seated. Today I want to remind you of a story of a group of people who left everything and joined a great work. They left everything in the world deciding to never return again. In this story, there are some who left deciding to return to this damnable world that's full of curses, sicknesses, disease, and hatred. While the ones who stayed are joyfully waiting, doing their jobs, knowing they were given an opportunity like no other. This story and the people in the story is what encourages me and many young people in Yahweh's house each day. I'm sure by now you know I'm talking about all you mothers, counselors, supervisors in Yahweh's great house. The world masks their curses with glitz and glamour, fame and fortune, which blinds people from the bigger picture. The people of this world post their lives on the World Wide Web saying, I've done this, I went there, I'm so cool, I'm so great, I, 666. But when they turn off that camera or that phone, they're suffering from sicknesses, disease galore. That's their glory covered up with a mask. The pulls of this world are so strong, and when we're pulled by these things, they can easily entrap us and cause us to desire the way of the world over the way of Yahweh. But if we would put our heads in the book and study as we were instructed to do by an overseer, we can guard against these things. When we see our overseer go up there and cry, know it's because he wants us to come out of this world and enter in Yahweh's kingdom with him. The same goes when we make a mistake and our parents or even our counselors correct us. Know it's because they desire for us to be a part of Yahweh's family. We are Yahweh's first fruits, to be the purest of the pure. Turn over to Daniel 12, verse 10. Daniel 12, verse 10, and it says, many will be purified, made white, tried, tested, but the wicked will do wickedly, and none of the wicked would understand, but the wise will understand. So yes, we will be tested and tried to become these pure and righteous people. But remember, Yahweh is with us, so pray to Yahweh. 2 Kefa 2, verse 9. And it says, Yahweh knows how to deliver the righteous out of temptation, trials, and to reserve the unjust to the day of judgment. These tests and trials are to prove us, not beat us down. They are blessings, and once we overcome them, they add jewels to our crown. Sometimes our tests makes us feel like they're wringing us like rags, but enjoy them. They will get you a place in Yahweh's kingdom. The tests and trials are to chisel off all of our rough edges. Even though our tests may be hard, we must never go into this world and forget all that we have worked so hard for, or even forget how hard our overseer and our authorities have tried to guard us from this world. This world has nothing to offer but death. While the people of this world is wrapped up in their glitz and glamour, their world leaders are preparing for war. The minds of this world are so confused. All the world is being led by the 4,199 religions, the Vatican, which is led by Satan. They pushed aside Yahweh's laws that bring peace. They brought their military, their big weapons, and mighty bombs that their world leaders never forget to boast about, saying, oh, my bomb, it's so great. It's going to wipe your country off the map. And the other one saying, oh, no, my bomb, it's way better. It's going to destroy the whole world. And promising it will bring peace and security. But what does it truly bring? Nothing but death in that 1 hour burning that's prophesied of in Revelations 18. Why should you go into this world and enjoy fun, S-I-N, for a season or less? We must be able to clearly see this world has nothing to offer us, not a thing. This world is evil. A priest once said that pastor told him, staying in Yahweh's house is the hardest thing you will ever do. But remember, it's the best choice you will ever make in your life. The world has nothing to offer, but Yahweh's house has lots to offer, life eternal and truth. Only truth, not the lies like this world. We must determine in our minds that this is the place we want to be for all eternity. To the young people in Yahweh's house, Pastor has given us an opportunity to work together for us to find joy in the house of Yahweh. Being in the house of Yahweh helps us to get along with one another as friends, true friends, friends who will influence you in a positive way. The people in the house of Yahweh do not have time to waste on social media and the ways of this world. Our focus is on what we are assigned to do in our next assignment. This is what helps us to guard our minds. We're the last who will be first to receive eternal life and the authority to give life. This is the greatest opportunity that anyone can ever hope for. We must make every effort to become ready to come to a full state of humility with a clean heart. This opportunity is bigger than life itself. But Yahweh chose us because he knows we can do it, Yeshua knows we can, and Yisro knows we can, and he's running this race with us. The house of Yahweh is our home. It is our family. We must become strong pillars in Yahweh's great house. It is up to us to make this opportunity a reality. We are tagged to the Chosen Branch, 1074. Do not entag yourself and go into this world that has nothing to offer. Remember, this world has nothing to offer, but Yahweh's house is the best place on the face of the earth, so stay. And with this, I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. The title of my speech is Suffering for Salvation, Part 2. Why are you here? Why are you still struggling? What are you doing this for? What are you doing? Do you even know what you're doing? I want to read an excerpt from a sermon Overseer gave on 8/4/2007. He says, "There must be something there that's keeping you, you know. Could it be Yahweh's love? Because he loves you, every one of you here. Could it be he who's actually holding you back and keeping you from going like he's holding the wars back and saying, I want you in my kingdom. I'm not willing that you should perish. He's not willing that you, no matter how sorry you are, he still loves you. And no matter what you are right now, he's telling you right now, you can change and you can be as perfect as he is almost if you will use these laws to change your attitude. No matter how sorry you were to begin with, Yahweh chose you. And your background doesn't matter. It's your future that matters. Do we think about our future? Because life is not about what we gain on the earth. It's about what we gain in our mind. No matter where we will go in this world, we will suffer. In 2 Corinthians 7:10, it says, the sorrow that Yahweh wills works repentance unto salvation, but the sorrow of the world works death. The sorrow that we go through in the house of Yahweh, it's not for nothing. Lamentations 3:27 says, it's right for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. We're gaining everything, and we will obtain something from it in the end when it's all said and done. But the sorrow of the world is for nothing. You might be able to do certain things you wanted to do, but deep down you would know you gave up everything righteous that you were taught. What benefit is it if you gain the whole world, but you lose your life? And I know many of us, I'm sure when you were little, you know, you had hopes and dreams of growing up in the house of Yahweh, being a part of the kingdom. You probably saw yourself achieving those goals, but what occurred? You know, sometimes it's easier to look at the carnal things which are seen than the spiritual things that are unseen. But the things that are seen right in front of us, the traps of Satan, they're temporary. But the things which are not seen of Yahweh are eternal. It would do us more help if we would get out our book of Yahweh and remember our Creator than to distract ourselves from facing reality and feeling bad. You know, you feel bad, you forget Yahweh, you distract yourself more, you feel worse, and then you've dug yourself very deep. But how is that helping you right now? How is that, worldly music fixing your problems? Are you any less depressed? You know, temporarily you might feel like, you know, you're distracted, but when you step back, all your problems are still staring you in the face. They haven't been solved. But Yahweh has to become more real to us than anything that we see. You know, the adults and the people that get up here, they're not wanting us to just take their word for it. You know, oh, you just want us to take your word for it. No, they want us to prove all things, you know, as the scriptures tell us to do, so that we can see for ourselves why we're here. You know, this is not you and whoever you came with. This is you and Yahweh. This is us and Yahweh that we're here for. And so, but we have a benefit because we were, most of us were raised, the young people that I'm talking to, we were raised here, you know. So we have that benefit that Yahweh's laws have always been going into our mind, you know. We've always heard Overseer talking to us and preaching to us. So we have everything going for us. We just have to find our fire, you know. Find your reason within yourself to change your life. You know, nobody can do it for you. At the end of the day, it's up to you and me. So the Apostle Shaul said, I do not run like a man running aimlessly, like I don't know what I'm doing or what I'm here for. No, I discipline my body and I bring it into subjection. In 2 Corinthians 7, verse 11, it says, for we see how much this earnestness, this sorrow that Yahweh wills has brought about for you. What diligence it has brought about in you. Yes, what eagerness to clear yourselves. Verse 16 said, therefore I rejoice and I have confidence in you in all things. We have to remember that we owe our Creator something. We're not just living our life, you know, reaping the benefits of what Yahweh allowed us to have the breath of life, just, you know, receiving the benefits, and we don't owe Yahweh something in return. You know, we we have to give Yahweh what is his, which is our best effort, everything we have. So we might fall, we might, you know, have to climb 1,000 miles, we might stumble, we might, you know, have to do so many things, but whatever it takes, you know, our efforts will count a lot to Yahweh, who searches the hearts. He knows everything about us, everything we don't even know. He knows everything. And if he knows that and he still believes in us, that means we have, you know, hope. So I would like to end my speech by reading 1 Timothy 4:10-13-16. It says, "For to this life of holiness we labor and strive and suffer reproach, because we fix our hope on the living Father." And verse 13 says, "Until I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to the teachings. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you through prophecy, with laying on of hands. Set your love upon these things. Give yourself completely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Pay attention to yourself and to the doctrines." You know, when we come to services, this is the time, this is Yahweh's time. We already should have slept the night before, you know, looked at our phone, whatever we had to do the night before, or you know, before services start, so that when we come to services, we can take what Yahweh has to teach us and apply it to our lives. So it says, you know, pay attention to yourself, to the doctrines, and continue in them. For in doing so, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. And I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. The title of my speech is Numbered by Yahweh. Now, what does that mean? Numbered by Yahweh. I put that into the Gematria, and this is what I came up with. It is number 1074. Do we know what number that is? 1074? That's one of Pastor's tag numbers. In fact, that's one of the tag numbers that he had one of the hardest times in the world to get. And we all remember the deacon bringing out the explanation of how that tag number came to become Pastor's personal license number for his personal car. That's what that 1074 means. Now, in the 17th book of Yisro, chapter 24, verse 5, Pastor goes on to expound upon the number, the tag number 1074. And the paragraph of verse 5 says, but anyway, she says, the tag number, 1074. 74 is one of his lot numbers. 7 times 4 is 28, which is another one of his lot numbers. Then 174, then the 1 and the 7 give you 17. This is his other lot number. And he says, I thought that was beautiful. So he brought out what this one sister of the house of Yahweh brought out about his tag number. Now, to expound upon this 1074 and 17, 1074 comes from the Hebrew, 1069. And it means firstborn, new fruit. And it's a demonstrative of 1061, means first fruits. Now, what are pastor's first fruits? It's you, all of you sitting there in the sanctuary. You are pastor's first fruits. You are the fruit that he proves to Yahweh that he is doing Yahweh's work. Remember, scripture says that a righteous tree cannot bring fruits of iniquity, and an evil tree cannot bring fruits of righteousness. So you are the first fruits of pastor in this generation. Now, that's the other thing. 1074, it comes from the Greek. It's a Greek derivative of 1085, which means generation. Specifically, which generation? This generation. So 1074, that is what 1074 means. Now, another thing that I wanted to show you was the number 17. 17 comes from 14, which means want. And 14 means to acquiescence, but it means to be willing to want. And if you go further into the definitions that I have of that, 17 also means to lust after. It means to strive for. It means to seek after. It means to continue to desire Yahweh's words of life. Okay, now 17, it comes from the Strong's Concordance Greek. It also comes from 18 and 4160, and it is a well-doer, i.e. virtuous, them that do well. And again, it means, as a verb, means to make, to do, and is used of bringing forth fruit. Yahweh numbered Pastor with the numbers 17, 28, and 74. And as you know from all the sermons that the great Kohan and the great deacons have brought forth, expounding on these numbers of 10, 74, of 322, of 17, of 28, of 74, you can get those sermons. All you need to do is look in your prophetic word, and it'll list some of the sermons that you can go to that will give you more information on these numbers, numbered by Yahweh. The number 28, which comes from 3045, and it means father of knowledge. Father of knowledge. Now, I went to 3045, and it's a half a column, a full column, and then another half a column in the Strong's Greek, in the Strong's dictionary, and I couldn't make copies of all of that information. But some of the definitions that it has, it's a primitive root, which means to know. It means it's causative, which means instruction, designation. It says knowledge, to understand, to declare, to be diligent. Yada means to know. To know by observing and reflecting, thinking. And this is the number 28 comes from. 28 comes from the number 1. As we know, the number 1 is Father. 17 comes from 18, which, again, 17 is 10 and 7. 10 is my Father is Majesty. 7 is my Father is Yahweh. So when you go and you do these numbers, a lot of people think that there's nothing to these numbers. Yahweh created the numbers. Yahweh created the words. Yahweh created the inspiration to be put into the minds of these men and women who have brought forth these definitions for us. They don't know Yahweh. They don't know. They don't have that knowledge. They haven't been called yet. But that doesn't mean Yahweh doesn't allow them to bring forth this information for the overseer to bring it forward to us. Okay, the number 74. The number 74 means it's from, again, 1. And it's from 5216. So it comes from 1, Father of light, i.e. enlightening. 5216 is a primitive root, which means to glisten. A lamp. What era of the lampstand are we in at this time period? We are in the seventh era, and the seventh era is being taught by the one sent. Who has been given the numbers 17, 28, 74? Now, these numbers are very important, as you can see. Now, there's another number that's very important, and this is the year that the overseer was born. We all remember what year he was born, right? 1934. Okay, 1934 comes from 1909. Does everybody remember the 1909 numbers that we had shown before? I had shown before. They're right here. Now, 1909, these definitions are from the Strong's Concordance red letter edition of the Strong's Concordance. If you go to the newer versions of the Strong's Concordance, which is the strongest Strong's, it does not have this definition, which means superimposition, which brings us back to the prophecy that he fulfilled of Yekezkiel, which was to measure the temple. Now, all of these numbers, all of these dates, 1934, is right here, is one of the numbers that comes from 1909. 1982 is his first trip to Israel. 1989 was the temple prophecy fulfilled. These numbers are very important because they show who Yahweh has assigned in these last days to bring forth his work of Yahweh, his work. Now, there's one other book that the overseer had talked about, and it is called Number in Scripture, and it's by E.W. Bullinger. And on page 245, he explains the number 17. 17 is a number that cannot be divided, and I'm going to show this to you. 17 is a number that cannot be divided. 17 is 7, which is Yahweh's number, plus 10, which is the Ten Commandments. You put the two together and you have 17. And it just, Yahweh, I was inspired to write this. The one sent by Yahweh cannot be divided from Yahweh's laws. Yahweh numbered him. He's numbered us through him. Remember, 1074. It's Yahweh's number, so it's also pastors. And I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, Great House of Yahweh. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. It's a privilege and honor to stand before the called out ones in the last days generation. My title is Nation's Eyes Wide Shut. Now, it was prophesied that Satan would deceive the entire world, and she leads all 4,199 religions that cover the entire earth, and she is a liar and the teacher of all lies. And we also know that the deception, the definition of deception, is believing that you can live without Yahweh's laws. The truth is only at the house of Yahweh, the pillar and ground of truth, and this is the place Yahweh chose to establish his name through the last day's witness, and Yahweh proves it in the gematria. So just think for a second what Yahweh is showing us and how magnificent the mind of Yahweh is. He showed us the end from the beginning, and the numbers in scriptures, the gematria, Yahweh's hidden codes, these were all laid in the scriptures that were inspired to be written by Yahweh's prophets and Yeshua's apostles. Then Yahweh tells us that he gathered, and not one of these will be neglected, the scriptures. So the truth in the scriptures was hidden from the world. Right? Right. They will never understand what the prophets were talking about. Right? Right. But all of this is shown to Yahweh's house. One reason being is because we accept Yahweh's laws and Yahweh blesses us with understanding. So, not only this, but because Yahweh's witness is teaching us and only we, whom Yahweh calls, understand out of all the billions of people on the face of the earth. So because of Yahweh's last day's witness, Yeshua Hawkins, we understand that the gods of the gods the whole world follows are worthless. They can't answer prayers, their feast days are lies, and their ways bring sickness, disease, war, and death. God worshippers have no rest. The rest of keeping the Sabbath in which salvation starts. So that means that they have no life abiding in them at all. They know nothing and they understand nothing, right? Right. Isaiah 43, verse 8 through 10. Isaiah 43, 8 through 10. Bring forth the blind people who have eyes and the deaf who have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together and let the peoples be assembled. Who among them can declare this? Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses so they may be justified, or let them hear and acknowledge. This is the truth. You are my witnesses, says Yahweh, and my servants whom I have chosen, so you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. But before me there was no God formed, nor will there be after me. So who was Yahweh's last day's witness? I'm sorry. What was that? Okay. One more time. Yisrael Hawkins. Okay, Isaiah 49, verse 3. And he said to me, "You are my witness, O Yisrael, through whom I will be glorified." So, let's see Isaiah 44, verses 1. "Yet hear now, O Jacob. Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Yisrael, whom I have chosen. Do not fear nor be afraid." Verse 8. "Have I not told you from that time and have declared, you are my witnesses? There is no other source of power except me. Truly, there is no other rock. I know not one." So Yahweh is showing us who he's working with. He's given us the numbers and scriptures, the gematria, the Yahweh's hidden code, and these are proof backing up these scriptures. So it's not only the scriptures that we have, but all these things that Yahweh led about in order to prove who his last day's witness is and prove who he is working with. So Yahweh handpicked and gave overseer the tag numbers, number 322 and 1074, in which the previous speaker spoke more about the 1074 being hidden, that it was overseer's lot numbers. All right, keeping that in mind, it is Yahweh's great secret and blessing that he has brought forth to show us these things. This is it. This is it. And the last seventh Moloch is sounding to all nations. Right? Yet the authorities say that the numbers in scriptures was discovered by accident. Well, let's see. Okay, so I have a few of them written down for you. And these have already been brought out. There's just a few to prove a point. So we have the two witnesses, new light, number 322. 512, I'm in full control. In the gematria, it's 322. Yahweh was a miracle name, 1074. Book of Yahweh is backed, 1074. Yahweh Sirkenu, 1074. Righteousness, 1074. Yahweh's hidden codes, 1074. Like polished shaft, 1074. Anointed for uprightness, 1074. Now tell me, can you do this? Can you do this before the foundations of the earth was laid? You are just but a created being, and all nations are but a created being, and these worthless gods don't have this power that Yahweh has. And these are just to name a few. Not once, but hundreds and hundreds of times, Yahweh is proving these things through the tag numbers that he's given and handpicked for Yisrael Hawkins. Okay, but the nation still won't repent. They'd rather keep sinning. In Isaiah 45, verses 5 and 6, "I am Yahweh, and there is no other apart from me. There is no God, Elohim. I will strengthen you with this knowledge, though you did not recognize that it was me, so that you may know from the rising of the sun to the place of its setting that there is none beside me. I am Yahweh, and there is no other." Now, before I show our clip, please remember that Overseer Yisrael Hawkins was the most hated man, just as foretold, because he teaches exactly what Yeshua Messiah, the prophets of old, and all the apostles taught, to repent and keep the laws of Yahweh. If I may please have my clip, or our clip. Yeah.
Are you the prophet? Are you the prophet? Are you the prophet?
I am the last day's witness spoken of in Isaiah, the 44th chapter.
I'm frightened of you a little bit, and I think it's irresponsible for us to have you inside the television box right now. You're telling people that a nuclear baby is coming, that the end of the world is near, and that sexually transmitted diseases cause global warming, and that's all a load of crap. Thank you for coming. You may soon get a break on those pricey cell phone fees. The talks...
I am Yahweh's last day's witness, number 322. And there is no other place to be, 1074. May your faith be strengthened, great saints of Yahweh, and your love for Yahweh abound through keeping his laws. If you would all please stand, I will turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. I greet you in the great name of Yahweh. The other day on the radio, the overseer was talking about many laws passed by this world and the foolish laws that they pass, and he said, you know, they have a law in Abilene where you can't have a crowing rooster. So I have a gematria, because I asked, well, who is that crowing rooster? And we see it's 322. Now you know why they wanted to get rid of the crowing rooster in Abilene, but it isn't working. So the title of my speech is Wake Up, the Rooster's Crowing. Now, Luke 322. We heard about that last week and how the Pope is trying to get rid of that name for that loop around Abilene, the loop around the house of Yahweh. Well, I looked and the distance of that loop is 7.162 miles. So I looked in the Hebrew dictionary and it said 5162 means a horn for a sound. Now it reminds you of Isaiah 58:1 where it says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a rooster. Like a trumpet. And in Hebrews, it goes to 7161, means a peak of a mountain. Isaiah 2:2, let's turn there. Isaiah 2:2, not to mention Isaiah just 2:2, but we're in the month of the two witnesses, day two. And I think that's pretty amazing that the mountain means Isaiah 2:2. So on Isaiah 2:2, it states, if I can get there. It will come to pass in the last days, it has come to pass in the last days, that the mountain, that peak of the house of Yahweh, has been established in the chief nation of all nations, and all nations will eventually flow to here. So it also means a ray of light. In Psalm 19, verse 4, who could ever forget that great sermon the overseer gave on Psalm 19, showing us how it represented the whole house of Yahweh? And in verse 4, it says, their witness goes out through all the earth, and their story to the end of the world. In them he has set up a house for the light. Praise Yahweh for that. Now, let us let Scripture interpret Scripture, because that's the way the house of Yahweh does it. We don't lean upon our own understanding. So let's turn over to Psalm 119, verses 105 and 130 to see what exactly light is. In Psalm 119, verse 105, it says, your law is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Down to 130, the unfolding of your laws give light. They give understanding to your people. It is only the laws of Yahweh brought forth by Israel Abel Hawkins, sitting on the peak of that mountain, crying out as a rooster. Now, it also mentioned the word power, and with that you can turn over to Malachi 4, verse 5, and we'll see what the power of Yahweh is. Malachi 4, verse 5, it says, behold, I will send Elia, the law, and the prophets, which is the strength of Yahweh. Strength, which is the power of Yahweh. And what does that power have to do? What can we do with that power? Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 56, because we don't have that power for nothing. We have that power to do a work. And in 1 Corinthians 15, 56, it says, the sting of sin is death, but the power over sin is the law, that law that brings understanding, that law that brings light. Now, why does the Pope hate Luke 3:22 and wants to change its name? Now, you know, this isn't the first time that the Catholic Church, that beastly system, has changed something to deceive the people. Remember Jeremiah 23, verse 27. Please turn there. Jeremiah 23, verse 27, and it will show you what else they tried to change and hide. But before we go to 27, just skip up to verse 20, where it says, "In the latter days, you will understand it perfectly." We are promised that we're going to understand this all perfectly, and we are through the teacher that's brought forth in these last days, anointed by Yahweh. So what is it that the Catholic Church once tried to hide? Who devised and planned and schemed to cause my people to forget my name? So there we see at that point how he tried to hide Yahweh's name, just as he's trying to hide the 322. Now, I want you to look at the Strong's page number 322. I just went to Strong's page 322, and this is what was on there. I hope you can see that. At the top, you know, that says God. They tried to hide Yahweh's name, so I put Yahweh's name where Yahweh's name belongs, just like Israel Hawkins does. Put it where it belongs, and don't deny it. But you see here, it shows that connection that Yahweh has with 322. Yahweh's name is on 322. Isaiah 42, verse 8 says, "I am Yahweh, that is my name. My glory I will not give to another. Neither will we. We will give all our glory and honor to great Father Yahweh." And why did they want to hide the name of Yahweh? Well, let's go to Acts 2, verse 21 to see why they wanted to hide Yahweh's name. Acts 2:21 says, "And it will come to pass that whoever will call on the name of Yahweh will be delivered or protected." We call upon Yahweh's name. And it's the overseer who brought that out in these last days. And it's not just the name, it's what the name means. It's keeping all of his laws and bringing honor and glory to him through the keeping of his laws. So we know that the loop 322 is a protection. It's a surrounding. Yahweh says he surrounds his camp. So let's look at this next gematria. It says, "The camp of Yahweh in the last days." You see that middle number there, 2022? Well, that means the mountain that we spoke of in Isaiah 2:2. Two witnesses the second day. You see all the twos in there? 2:2, the mountain of Yahweh. Well, look at that other number, 337. That word means alas, a crying out. We finally, in these last days, had someone that Yahweh sent that has cried out to bring us to the protection of his house offers. And not only us, but Proverbs 31, 8 and 9, it shows you why Yahweh did that, why he brought someone in these last days. Proverbs 31, verse 8 and 9. It says here, "Speak out for the ones who cannot speak for himself, in the cause of all who are appointed to die. Speak out and judge righteously and plead the cause of the poor and needy." There is one who has many supporters and many family members in these last days who are standing with Israel Hawkins to cry out, to plead for those who cannot plead for themselves. Now in Genesis 3:22, we see Adam and Eve were sent out of the garden. They sinned, and they were no longer within that loop 322. That's Genesis 3:22. We see them outside of that garden. Now, there's only one way back within that protection, and that's in Acts 3:22. See, out 3:22 and Acts in 3:22, where it says that Yahweh has sent someone. He has appointed someone in these last days. In Genesis 28:17, let's go there. Genesis 28:17, two of Pastor's lot numbers that we've learned much about again today. It says, "How wonderful is this place? This is none other than the house of Yahweh. This is the gate, the entrance to the kingdom of Yahweh." Do you see that, Gematria? 1074, Pastor's lot number. And his lot number and teaching the 613 laws, this is our entrance into the kingdom. And also that number 179 means to be endless, permanent, and forever. What will you do when the rooster crows? Will you do a little more sleep, a little more slumber, a little more folding of the hands so sudden destruction will come upon you? Or will you wake up to enter into the great kingdom of Yahweh? With that, I'll turn it back over to Nick.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. Please allow me a few seconds to read an excerpt of an interview that was published on 2/24/2018. The interviewer in the report asked, "Let me remind you of some of the words that you have used to describe your industry. Corrupt, yeah. Immoral, yes. Depraved, definitely yes." Okay? A few weeks ago, Pastor made the statement, "Doctors took the place of the priests." You all remember that, when he made that statement? Right. It was a very strong statement, and it stuck with me day after day. I had to ponder about it and think about it. And I came to the conclusion that yes, 100%, the doctors have taken the place of these priests. Which brings me to my title, "Go to the Priest." Let's take a trip down memory lane and to events that occurred thousands and thousands of years ago to see how it affects today. 1 Samuel chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. 1 Samuel chapter 8, beginning in verse 1, found on page 228. A very familiar scripture. When Samuel became old, he made his sons judge over Israel. But his sons did not walk in his ways. They sought dishonest gain, they took bribes, and they perverted justice. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and approached Samuel when he was at Ramah, saying to him, "You are old, Samuel, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Appoint us a king to judge us, just like the other nations." But these things displeased Samuel, especially when they said, "Give us a king to judge us." Then Samuel prayed to Yahweh. Verse 14. This is what Yahweh told Samuel to tell the people, what a king will do. "He will seize your best fields, your vineyards, your olive groves, and give them to his officials." Verse 15, "He will demand a tenth of your grain and your vintage, and he will give it to his officers and attendants." That was the warning that the prophet gave to the people when they wanted a king, but they went their own way. When you read this, it sounds like it was a spur of the moment question the people came up with and went before Samuel, but no, that is not so. It is a thing that was going on for a few years. They desired to sin, and it was in their hearts, even before they crossed the sea with Moshe. Exodus chapter 14, verse 12, found on page 56. "Did we not say to you in Egypt, Moshe, leave us alone, let us serve." Notice the word serve. S-E-R-V-E, serve. Serve means to obey, right? It brings to mind the scripture, Romans 6:16. Do you not know that to whom you yield yourself as servants to obey, his servants you are whom you obey? So let us repeat again. Leave us alone. Let us serve the Egyptians. It would be better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in this wilderness. So you see, when they were coming out of Egypt, out of the land of Egypt, physically, their mind was still there. Even after witnessing all the things that Yahweh have done, all the power and strength over the creations, from the water to blood, from the frogs, from the gnats, to the flies, to the cattle, to the boils, to the hail, to the locusts, to the darkness, and even the death of the firstborn, they still do not believe and trust in Yahweh and the prophet. And they wanted a king to judge them just like all the other nations. The 10 plagues they saw with their very own eyes, but their hearts was not with Yahweh. They wanted to be evil as the gods. And remember what the overseer has brought out about Egypt. This is where the Coptic Catholics came from, this religion. Remember Yahweh told Samuel, warn the people what the king you have chosen will do, and his appointed officials will take the best for themselves and put themselves first and not serve the people who elected them into office. All right, going back to the article. The article was published, on, as I said before, on 2/24/2019. It was from 60 Minutes. It was an interview between a reporter and a high-ranking executive for the pharmaceutical industries, Mr. Ed Thompson, a drug manufacturer who spent decades managing and producing opioids for Big Pharma. He break rank, denounced his industry, and its federal regulator, the Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, which he says opened the floodgates in the crisis of a few little changes to a label. Ed Thompson told us, when the top-selling opioid Oxycontin was first approved in 1995, it was based on science that only showed it safe and effective when used short-term. But in 2001, pressure from Big Pharmaceuticals and pain sufferers, the FDA made a fateful decision. And with no new science to back it up, expanded the use of Oxycontin to just about anyone with chronic ailments like arthritis and back pain. So what they did, they changed the wording of it from short-term use to long-term use. The FDA did this by simply changing a few words on the label, right? Ed Thompson said, you're using high-dose, long-duration opioids when they have never been designated to do that. This is no evidence, and they are not effective. They're extreme evidence of harsh and harms and deaths when you use them. So their own... A person who owns a big pharmaceutical company has come out against the FDA about what they did by approving these drugs. Let me give you a little history of the FDA. The FDA is, reading from Wikipedia.com, the FDA is the agency responsible for protecting and promoting public health through the control and supervision of food safety, tobacco products, dietary supplements, prescription and over-the-counter pharmaceutical drugs, medication, vaccinations, and the list going on and on and on and on. You get the point. The FDA's job is to regulate these drugs. But the clinch is the FDA regulates more than $2.4 trillion worth of consumer goods, but you need money to run these departments. And where do you think the money comes from? The big pharmaceuticals pay the FDA fees, so they are swayed by bribes. Yahweh spoke many words about bribes, right? So here we have the king, which is the government, and then the officials, the elected officials, and leaders, the FDA, this is the way of the world, on one hand, who put themselves first and not the people. Remember, Yahweh predicted this many, many, many years ago. He knew this is what will have occurred. Right? So now, on the other hand, we have Yahweh's way, which is built on what? Which is built on true love, peace, and abundant living. And the administration of the house here, which is the priests, the priestess, the Kohanas, the judges, they look out for us. They will not be swayed by these kind of bribes and money. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 9 to 12. Very quickly. It says, go to the priests who are Levites and to the judge who is in office at that time, right? So you say, go to the priests. This is Yahweh's way. Exodus, look what he told them to look for in these men that you put for judges. Moreover, you shall select all the people, able men, such as reverence Yahweh, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place them as rulers over thousands, rulers over hundreds, rulers over fifties, and rulers over ten. And on top of that, in the law, Yahweh said in Exodus 23, says, do not accept a bribe, for a bribe blinds those who see and twist the words of righteousness. And Ecclesiastes 7:7, it says, a bribe corrupts the heart, your seat of your intelligence. Proverbs 15:27, it reads, he who hates bribes will live. And that is the priest and the administration of the house of Yahweh, who reject bribes and money and teach the will and the ways of Yahweh only, so that we may live. And children, for your homework, I want you to please look at, please read law number 172, 173, 174, 176, and 177. Please review this. Be familiar with it so you do not ever, ever fall into these traps of the rulers of the world. And to leave you, I put in study to show yourself approved in the Gematria on gematrinator.com, and 322 came up. Study to show yourself approved. We have everything you need from the books. And if you can't get a hold of the books, if you live in another nation, you can get it on the internet. We have the free downloads. We have all Pastor blogs and all his newsletters, all his prophetic words. So please, sisters and those out there in the nations, please study to show yourself approved so you won't be caught up in this way of life. Thank you, and I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be all be seated. And may the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. So, right when I ended my whole writing of my lesson today, a little voice said to me, a real little voice, not one in my head, a little voice said to me, so what are you going to talk about tomorrow? And I said, about forgetting righteousness. And they said, well, I got something for you that can help you with your speech. And within 5 minutes, I came back and I had something. I had a prop. So I have to show it today. It's a little bit small, but as you can tell, there is a line coming through this page. There's righteousness and there's sin. And as you can tell here, we have this man. Everybody knows who this is, Pope Francis. Then you have all your holidays. Even they know who Pope Francis is. And on righteousness here, you have your head covering, your kippah, you have the banner that says House of Yahweh, and our usual peace, joy, and, well, actually, this is living here. Pretty interesting, living. But my speech today, and the whole point of this, is this right here. See the little people here? They're crossing that line, and they're heading towards sin. So keep that image in your mind. Thank you to my helper there. But the title of this lesson today is Who Will Not Remember Our Righteousness? And if you listen carefully to Pastor's sermon last week, and I noticed all of our speakers, they've been saying that, Pastor says this, and it just like put me at a moment of really thinking it. Like, wow, the way he said it, there's more to it than that. So he said this in his sermon, and he, if you listen carefully, he would have answered this question, who would not remember your righteousness? But he was referring to the scripture. If you all turn with me to page 640. On page 640 of the book of Yahweh, it's Ezekiel 18, verse 24. And if you have a regular Bible, that's Ezekiel 18, verse 24. But in the book of Yahweh, it's on page 640. And this is the main topic here, so I want everyone to read it with me. On page 640, Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 24, it says, but when the righteous turns away from his righteousness or her righteousness and commits iniquity, meaning pushing aside the laws, and does according to all the abominations that the wicked man does, should he live? All his or her righteousness that he or she has done would not be mentioned on his or her behalf. In his or her trespass that they do, right, has trespassed, and in their sin that they have done, right, that they have sinned, in them they will die. Now, when you read that, you're thinking, well, once you turn away from Yahweh's laws, everyone will forget about you. Everyone will forget about all the right things you've done. But Pastor gave us a little bit more to the scripture, a better understanding. And I thought about it. I'm like, that's not, I mean, when someone does leave from Yahweh's way, I do remember. I do remember all the things they've done. So I'll give you an example of this, because in Ezekiel, let's go to the next few pages. Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel 28, because it gives a perfect example of someone in Yahweh's life who was so important and was the perfect example of righteousness at the time. And she was mentioned. Her righteousness was mentioned. You kind of get an idea where I'm going here. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 14. But there's a catch here, okay, if you listen closely. This is speaking of Yahweh's wife. Yes, Yahweh has a wife. He knows what it like, what it feels like to have a wife, okay? So Yahweh has a wife, and Yahweh gave her the highest position ever. Because, I mean, Yahweh is the most powerful being on the face of the earth. He's the most intelligent. He has a wife who is intelligent, who is smart, you know, who was that perfect example. So let's read here. In verse 14 of chapter 28, it says, you were the guardian, the cherubim, and I married you on the holy mountain of Yahweh. You have walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. You were perfect in your ways from the days that you were created until iniquity, sin, was found in you. So, yes, we remember things you've done, but then you turn to evil. And that, too, is remembered. But back to that question, who will not remember our righteousness if we decide to sin? Who will not? In Pastor's sermon last week, he says, you know, he was speaking about bringing the Bible back because President Trump wanted to bring the Bible back into the schools. But then it will cause this mixture. And when there's this mixture, it will begin to allow a person to choose that evil. And he says here that when they turn back to evil, they forget all of the righteousness they have done, and it's also forgotten in heaven. But get that point. He says they forget. They are the one who forget righteousness. They forget what it's like to be righteous. And Yahweh knows how the mind works. This is why he warns about it. You know, he warns about it in Matithiah, chapter 6, verse 24, when he says, you can't serve two rulers. You can't serve me and serve Satan. Because I know how the mind works. I built it. the minute you turn to sin, you will no longer want to serve me. Because the scripture says right there that you will either hate one or love the other. That's the way Yahweh built our minds. So he warns us that. And think about how strong the prophets and the leaders of the 12 tribes were when they said, I choose this day to serve Yahweh. And remember how the scripture says too that we know when Satan is your teacher because you will do everything she tells you to do. You will. So you can't serve too. You just can't. And in 1 Timaeus chapter 2, verse 4, for your notes, it speaks about the conscience mind and how it's seared, right? And in the footnote, I mean, I love the footnotes. They really get into a lot of information here. The conscious mind is supposed to help you with your morals, making the choices. It's to help you understand and become aware and be informed to know, to make right choices. But when it's seared, it cannot make a right decision. It cannot. And I had to get some science to back this up. I'm like, I'm sure some scientist has got to really be inquisitive. Like, how do you forget stuff? You know? And in this article, it's from To Remember, the Brain Must Actively Forget. This is the title of the article, and it's found on Quanta Magazine. And it quotes from two scientists here. And the first one, he's Oliver Hart, and he studies at McGill University. He says that of a night when you're resting and you think about your entire day, your brain actually goes through a filtering system. It decides, well, what was important today that I need to remember? So again, it's based on you, your desire, your feeling, what do I want to remember? And another scientist, he did some experiment with fruit flies. And a fruit fly, the minute they smell a banana, you know they're all over it. So Yahweh made their mind to smell certain fruits and to go after it. Well, the scientists say, well, let's try to change a little bit. Every time they smell this odor, I'm going to give them an electric shock. So from that, they got trained that, oh, the minute I smell that, I'm not going near there. Because they learned something new that they naturally don't do. So when they test these flies again, they're like, oh, it's been well trained. But while they were doing this, they were doing this. They actually were able to look into the brain of the flies. I know, so crazy technology. And they found that it shoots a dopamine. And this dopamine is actually a microorganism. We're not going to call it chemical. Remember, everything's alive. A microorganism that goes into the brain and contacts the cell and say, hey, you know, go after the banana. But after that pain was feeling and they were being retrained, the same microbe decided to no longer go there anymore. The same microbe that Yahweh used to do what is truly by law to do, no longer wanted to go there anymore. And it created a new memory. Don't go there. Don't go there. And it's the same with us when we train ourselves and desynthesize ourselves from being fed the righteousness and being part of Yahweh's house. We train ourselves, our desire to say, hey, you need to be there on Sabbath services. Hey, you need to make sure you call upon Yahweh's name. Hey, make sure that you salt your food. These little things no longer matters, and you start going here. So what Yahweh designed you to do, now you chose to forget, and you're choosing something else. So Pastor was right. He's inspired, and he's right that the minute you turn away from Yahweh, that very minute, you forget righteousness. And I've seen people with Alzheimer's, and it hurts me when they can't remember your name, when they forgot all of those wonderful memories you had together. And sometimes I feel that way. You know, when you meet people who are so into the house of Yahweh, so into righteousness, and you see them, like, did you forget my name? Yahweh's thinking the same thing. Did you forget my name? But it really is hurtful. And I don't ever, and I pray that we take seriously, that we don't ever want to get ourselves to where we forget Yahweh. We forget righteousness. We don't. It's a very serious matter. And that's just the way the brain works. And that's why we have to always feed ourselves with righteousness and push aside not Yahweh's laws, but push aside sin. With that, I'd like to please turn it over to our next teacher with righteous works.
Shabbat shalom again, saints of Yahweh. Please be seated. I'd like to entitle my portion today, 3 days and three nights, part two. 3 days and three nights, part two. Why? The great one sent told us that Yahshua's memorial is near, and we need to start getting into that perspective of things. And the last time I spoke, a great sister sent me the number of how many minutes Yahshua had spent in the grave. And it meant, when she gave me the minute, it meant, who is like Yahweh Micaiah? Who is like Yahweh Micaiah? Now, I want to go quickly through to reverse part one, and then we'll jump into part two. Now, they beat Yahshua on that night. We're going to run through part one, my previous speech. They beat Yahshua throughout that night, and the great ones and said to us that, yes, they bruised his skin when they beat him, but he did not break. He had a strong mind and a strong body that was established. On the stake, he cried, he said, Eli, Eli, and you told me it meant, help me in my suffering. Remember that? You told me what it meant. Then we said, Yosef and Nicodemus took him to the grave, and they laid him in there, and the count started exactly 3 days and three nights. Yahshua was spent in the grave, and he was the chosen Savior. He had to be the one, 3 days and three nights to the T. Then, let me ask you now. Then he arose on the third day, precisely to the T. Let me ask you, Great House of Yahweh, is Yahshua dead or alive right now? You sure? Let me ask you, where is Yahshua now and what is he doing? Let me ask you, how did Yahshua get there? It's okay. Oh, nice. Yes. You turned from the mouths of babes and sucklings. So let's go on. The great one sent told us in the first book of Israel, I heard a great teacher spoke of it last week. He said it was those antique books, great books. The sermon he gave it was 1704. He showed us their first book of Israel, sermon dated 1704. The great one said to us, Yahweh the power gave Yahshua the ability to defy gravity. The first book of Israel, chapter 24, you have to count it, 1, 2, 3, 4, because we didn't have the dates, the things in those times. Yahweh the power gave Yahshua Messiah the ability to defy gravity. Children, what's gravity? It's all right. An easy way they tell us to do gravity is what goes up must come down. But we in the Great House of Yahweh, we know gravity is simply the microorganisms working by law for Yahweh. Not the scientists, they're working by law for Yahweh. So everything that goes up, they say, let's get back down. Children, I have an example. I want to just show you. They said everything that goes up must come down. But the microorganisms, the things with which the earth creeps, they say gravity is the force that attracts it back to the earth. That's my paper plate. If I send it up, do you think it's going to like go sail over here or just float around? Children, do you think so? What do you think will occur if I send my paper plate up? I'm going to send it. It went down. The creeping things with which the earth creeps, says, we're going back down, attracted to the earth. They work by law for Father Yahweh. Lily, can you pick up the ball? Then let's go. So now we are with Yahshua. He arose part 2. Yeshua arose from the dead, he's gone. Mary Magdalene is there, she's confused. What's going on? She's having a hard time realizing, I walked with this man, he's dead, now he's alive. The disciples came, they went back and forth, so they came to look, and we're looking at the last chapters of Matthew, Yochanan, Mark, Luke and Yochanan, last chapters of each one. You can read the details, but for time. Yes, Mary Magdalene, she's there. And there are descriptions of different people. Beings, you want to call it, whichever way Yahweh decides, so let us go. And one said to her, come and look, he has been risen 3 days and three nights. Didn't he tell you he was going to be risen? Come and look. She went and she saw he's gone. There's one thing very important to me. It said the clothes that was wrapped around Yeshua's head was laying on a side. It was not laid together with the rest of the clothes that he had. I thought to myself, why would they have specified that detail? So it also showed us that different disciples, they were having a hard time, and through the accounts, they did not quite believe, the scripture says, you know, to the point of doubting Thomas. He said, I want to see the holes in his hand myself. I want to put my finger where they pierced the sword in his side myself. He was a real man, walking with them, defying gravity. The great one said, told us last Sabbath, Yahweh wants to make us in the likeness and image of Yeshua. That man we are speaking about. So Yeshua said, okay, he did appear to them a couple of times. And he said, meet me in Galilee over there where we discussed. He prayed for them and he blessed them. You know where I'm going. And he's ascending. But just before he ascended, just Miriam Magdalene. Miriam, when she saw a man standing there when Yeshua was risen, it was Yeshua, she did not know. But she said to the man, man, if you have taken my teacher, tell me where you have laid him. You remember that? So I can find him. And then Yeshua said, Miriam, like that's me. Don't touch me, because she's going to touch him. That's her person. She knows him. He said, don't touch me. I have not ascended to my Father. Ascending and descending, as in it. And look what he said to Miriam. Go and tell my brothers, I have to ascend. I am ascending to my Father and their Father. I am ascending to your power and my power. He includes them into the power frame. So he blessed them on the Mount of Galilee where they were, and he ascended. Scripture said he was, Yahweh the power took him up. Could we have the video, please?
What would happen if you went to space without a spacesuit? Whatever you do, don't hold your breath. The vacuum of space will pull the air from your body. So if there's air left in your lungs, they'll rupture. Oxygen in the rest of your body will also expand. You'll balloon up to twice your normal size, but you won't explode. Your skin is elastic enough to hold you together. Any exposed liquid on your body will begin to vaporize, so the surface of your tongue and eyes will boil. Without air in your lungs, blood will stop sending oxygen to your brain. You'll pass out after about 15 seconds. 90 seconds after exposure, you'll die from asphyxiation. It's also very cold in space. You'll eventually freeze solid. Depending on where you are in space, this will take 12 to 26 hours. But if you're close to a star, you'll be burnt to a crisp instead. Either way, your body will remain that way for a long time. Gut bacteria will start to eat you from the inside out, but not for long. So you will decompose very slowly. You could be floating in space unchanged for millions of years. Who knows? Maybe an advanced alien race will discover you.
May I ask you a question? Is there an account that told us a spaceship took great Yeshua up? Is there an account that tells us Yeshua put on a gear and then descended to heaven? Is there an account that tells us suddenly something opened? No. The account told us that Yeshua ascended. Where is Yeshua now, great house of Yahweh? He's sitting at the right hand of Yahweh the power, judging and interceding for us. Great One Sent said Yahweh wants to make us in the image of Yeshua, the Messiah. Do you want to be made into the image of Yeshua? Do you want to be made in the image of Yeshua? What kind of person then ought we to be? Even the demons knew of the power great Yahweh gave him and they trembled. And that's what Yahweh wants to give us. What kind of person ought we to be? The Great One said last Sabbath, Yahweh loves us. And Genesis 1:26 is all about that, making us in the image of Yeshua. Praise Yahweh. And this I turn over to the great last speaker.
Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. The title of my speech this afternoon is It Doesn't Say That in My Bible. And I want to talk about how Yahweh is everything and the gods are absolutely nothing. And I want to start by talking about two men who were chosen and commissioned by Yahweh to do a certain work. Want to take a guess at who those two men are? The two witnesses. Please turn to Isaiah 45, and we're going to read verses 4 through 6. Isaiah 45, verses 4 through 6, and it says, "For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Yisrael, my chosen, and I call you by your name, Jacob, and I surname you, Yisrael, though you did not recognize that it was me. I am Yahweh, there is no other apart from me. There is no God. There is no God. I will strengthen you with this knowledge." What knowledge are you being strengthened with, Yisrael and Jacob? The knowledge that there is no God. "So that they may know," the they is us, other people that they're teaching, "so that they may know from the rising of the sun to the place of its setting that there is none beside me. I am Yahweh, and there is no other." Now, that's established, right? Continuing to read in Isaiah 44, verses 5 through 7, Isaiah 44, 5 through 7, and I want you to notice who these two men claim to belong to, because it's very important. They're staking a claim here. One will say, "I belong to Yahweh," and the same will call himself with the name of Jacob. The other will subscribe with his hand and write, "I also belong to Yahweh," and surname himself with the name of Yisrael. This is what Yahweh, the King of Israel, the Redeemer, Yahweh of hosts, says, "I'm the first and the last, and except for me, there is no source of power. And who is I will foretell and set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people? And the things which are coming and will come, let them, the two that belong to me, foretell them." Okay, so who belongs to Yahweh? The two witnesses, right? Now, for your notes, I want you to put down 1 Yochanan 5, verse 19, because in 1 Yochanan 5, 19, it says, "We know that we belong to Yahweh, so we also belong to Yahweh, and that the whole world is under the influence of the gods," right? I mean, like our speaker previously, right? Right. Okay, so everyone's under the gods, but we belong to Yahweh. And in 1 Corinthians 8:5, in the King James Version, it even says this, Book of Yahweh, King James Version, it doesn't matter, that there are many lords and many gods, right? Now, I want you to think of it like this. If I had a bunch of girls and they were walking away from me, let's say there were about 20 of them. No, let's go bigger than that. Maybe 100. 100 girls walking away from me, and I yelled out, "Girl! Girl!" Either many of them would turn around to see if I was talking to them, or the possibility could be that none of them would turn around. Right? Right? Why? Because I didn't call them by their name, right? Now remember, the two witnesses are commissioned in this time period to teach that Yahweh is not a, right? Okay, so in Psalm 135, 15 for your notes, it says, "The gods of the nations are nothing but silver and gold, only the work of men's hands." Now we're going to talk about, how many of you are really into conspiracy theory? Okay, I got a conspiracy theory for you. It's in Jeremiah 23, verse 27. And this is a conspiracy that's been going on for a really long time by the pastors, the popes, the gods. And it says, "Who devise plan and scheme." This is a planning and a scheming to cause my people to forget my name through their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, just as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal or Lord. So who did they forget Yahweh for? Baal or Lord. Okay, so I want to show you Psalm 135, 13. We're going to look at this from the King James Version. And I want everyone to take notes because we need sisters to be able to prove our faith. And a lot of people say, "Oh, that isn't in my Bible." But we need to prove these things. And in Psalm 135, and this is from the King James Version, verse 13, you can see here where it says, "Thy name, O Lord, endureth forever, and thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations." Now, is Lord a name? No. Now, see that little number, letter S there, and it goes all the way up to Exodus 3:15? Jump over to Exodus 3:15 in the King James Version. Okay, now you got Moshe. And he says to Yahweh, he's like, Yahweh, and we're reading verses 14 through 16 here. But in verse 13, he asks Yahweh, he says, "You know, what should I tell them, like, if they ask me, what's your name? Like, what am I going to tell them, Yahweh?" And Yahweh says, "Well, I am that I am." Okay. And Moshe probably said again, "Well, like, what's your name? Like, what can I tell them your name?" Well, and then the King James says, "Well, tell them I am sent you." Okay. Well, alrighty, Yahweh. But what's your name? Now, you see the way the King James has it there? Tell them I am sent you. But you go on and you continue to read verses 15 and 16, and Yahweh's saying, this is my name, my memorial. This is something that I'm to be remembered for throughout all your generations, forever. It endures as long as the sun, my name, right? Now, in Exodus 6:2, the King James people, they're still a little confused here, but let's see what they show us here. In Exodus 6, verse 2, this is the King James Version. And if you look, can you zoom in on that, please? Exodus 6:2. We'll see if we can get it a little bit closer for you so you can read it. A little bit zoomed in. We'll zoom in a little more. A little more? Okay. And it says, "And God spoke to Moses, and he said to him, Moses, I'm the Lord." Now remember, Moses must have been getting pretty upset by now because he's asked, "What is your name? What is your name? What is your name? It's Lord, it's God, it's God, it's speaking to..." Now look at that center reference there. You see the number 2? Or the number 1 there? It goes up and it says Hebrew, YHWH. That's right there in the margin, you see it? Right there in the margin. And then it says, "I appeared to Abram, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and God Almighty, but by my name, Lord, was not known to them." Now you look again, that same number 1, and it says Hebrew, YHWH, traditionally Jehovah. Now you see where it says, "I was not known to them"? Okay, we're going to blow that up. Okay, in the Bible commentary by Jameson, it tells us that the original Hebrew text asks a question. It wasn't like that at all. It wasn't, I was not known to my name. I was not known to them. It was my name not known to them? Do you see right there the commentary, the Bible commentary by Jameson says it? It was a question. He was saying, look, was my name not known to you? And if you let Scripture interpret Scripture, you can compare Isaiah 52:6. It says, therefore my people, Yahweh says, will know my name. Therefore my people will know my name. Therefore they will know in that day that I am he who speaks. Behold, it is I. It is I. Praise Yahweh. So who is Lord God and who is Baal? Who are these people? These are just many men. And if you look in the theological dictionary of the Old Testament, you'll see that gods can be men, sometimes dead men. Pastors called them dead rabbis, right? So Yahweh is not a god. He is not a lord. In fact, I want to show you the Funk and Wagnalls dictionary, Funk and Wagnalls encyclopedia. Look up the word God. Any Christian, look up the word God. It says, it is true that the name of God, Yahweh, was understood as I am that I am. So when they are translating it, I am that I am, and Moshe kept asking, what's your name? I am that I am. What's your name? I am that I am. Tell them I am sent you. He was saying, tell them Yahweh sent you. Okay? Now we know that they call upon these gods, and they say, dear God, please save me. Capital G God, save me from all being falling under the influence of all the small G gods in the world. Do they say that? Well, let's see. I put in the gematria. Can the capital G God bring salvation? Okay, we might as well try to figure it out. Can the capital G God bring salvation? And one of the numbers that came up was 309, and it meant to procrastinate, continue, defer, delay, hinder, be late, tarry. And one of them was 1568 there in the Jewish, and it meant a heap of testimony. Heap of rubble. And the other number was 1854, and it means to crush, pulverize, and thresh. So you can either remember, go serve the gods, and be pulverized when the nuclear bombs come, because remember, they're the ones that took the tree of life away from Yahweh's people. Or you can serve and worship Yahweh the way that the witnesses are told to bring forth that name, and you can help restore this great tree of life and enter into Yahweh's great kingdom. Praise Yahweh. So the choice is ours. Now, with this, I'd like to turn it over for some quick closing announcements before we turn it over to the great priest. Praise Yahweh.
Shalom once again. You may be seated. I have some really great news to share with you. And right here it is. Isn't that amazing? 126,000 viewers last week's service. Praise Yahweh. And when I saw that, when I was given that number to look at, I thought, how amazing. Because last week we were told there was 125,000 abortions every day. Now the viewers are greater than abortions. Do you know what that means? That means sin is going to be coming down. Abortions are going to be ending soon, because Yahweh's word is getting out by the overseer. Now, this is also put in the gematria. Over 126,000. You see the numbers there? I'm just going to give you some of the explanations of those numbers. One of them means suspension, just for a time. The other one means fair speech, great words. You might want to take these numbers down so you can look them up later. Useful, better, to furnish what was needed, to light upon, power by the hand. And that brought you to Isaiah 45, verse 1, where it says, Yahweh says to his anointed for uprightness, whom I've taken by his right hand. It also had a pouring rain, which should remind you of Deuteronomy 32, verse 2, where Yahweh's teachings fall, his words fall like rain. It says to relate in words. And then it had the word honeycomb, which comes from Psalm 19:10, that The words of Yahweh are more to be desired than gold. They're sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. And it went to another word, to be permanent, sure, true, faithful, and to stand fast. And that shows as the witnesses stand and stood fast and still stand fast in Revelation 11:4. Now the last meaning was separation, departure, completion, and reversal. It is turning around. Yisroel Hawkins is turning this world to righteousness. Now, what we did also in this, if you see the number, three numbers, when you add them up, it comes to 9383. But that is, there's not a strong number for that big of a number. So remember that last word said reversal? So let's reverse that number around to 3839. It means a whitish tree. It means a whitish tree. Now, in the theological word book of the Old Testament, this is the number that it goes to. Yeah, that is very amazing. And that means in the Strong's, in the theological word book, it means morally pure. And it means always, in always, every, whole. At this time, let us stand. It is my great honor to turn it over to the mighty priest in the house of Yahweh.